This is Chapter 15 of The War on Waste Paradox by Len Bertain, read by Len Bertain. Jim came over to me just before class on Monday morning. He told me that Mr. Grimes was very upset. Apparently, Mr. Grimes had come into the parking lot at about 6 o'clock a.m. He had a meeting with Dr. Elby. Grimes drove through the snow into the parking lot and noticed someone or something under the light in the distance, but he couldn't make out what it was. As he got closer to the shop door, he recognized the figure as a man. But under all the clothing, he couldn't tell who. Mr. Grimes told Jim later that it was only after he opened the shop door and he and the figure rushed inside that he recognized Ramon, who worked in the assembly area as a boxer and cleanup man. Ramon stood shivering near the door. Water was dripping on the concrete as the snow on his clothing started to melt. His teeth chattered and his lips had turned blue. Mr. Grimes and Ramon went into the lunchroom. As Grimes made coffee, he asked Ramon what he was doing there at that time of the day. Work didn't start for over an hour. Ramon was apparently waiting for Mike Kane, who had been standing in the parking lot since about 5:40, when his wife had dropped him off. Ramon's wife took their family car to her job at a big hotel out of the highway. A fresh aroma of coffee filled the lunchroom. Grimes rushed over to the pot and gave the first cup to Ramon. They talked. Ramon knew that Mr. Grimes was going to meet with Dr. Elby that morning. Grimes had asked Ramon how he liked the classes, and Ramon acknowledged that he really liked them. Ramon's brother and cousin also worked at the company. They had come directly from Mexico with papers and had been in this country for 2 years. Ramon's brother Pablo worked in supply, and his cousin worked in shipping and on the loading dock for Buck. They all liked the classes and their chances for opportunity in the United States. Ramon had been a laborer in Mexico and would be a laborer all his life if he stayed there. Here, he and his family could go to school and make their lives much better. Mr. Grimes called out to Jim as he walked by the lunchroom door. While Jim waited at the door, he told Ramon, "I will personally see that you don't have to wait outside again. Thank you for spending the time with me. Are you warm yet?" Ramon answered, "Yes, Senor Grimes, I am now. The coffee helped. Gracias." Grimes took Jim into his office. Jim told me that as they sat down, the CEO asked, "Why was that man standing outside this morning, for heaven's sake? It's 12 degrees below zero, and the wind is blowing like hell. He was out there for over a half an hour, and you could have frozen to death." Jim replied, "It was Maine's responsibility. He hadn't been cooperating with the plan to come in early. He figures that if there's no more early morning inspection, I have to come in. To tell you the truth, he has been fighting all these changes tooth and nail. I've been getting complaints from the various teams that he won't work with them on inspection. A big reason we aren't getting the setup time down is that he won't jump to do the inspection when it's needed. Jack has brought in one of his associates to talk with him. They've had a few sessions, but it hasn't done any good." Jim left, and Mr. Grimes went to see Dr. Elby, who was sitting at one of the tables looking at some papers. Grimes greeted him and said, "How's it going? Things are really cooking in this place. I have to admit it, Jack. This WOW system really works. I can't believe everyone's enthusiasm." He continued, "I'm sorry for being a little late. I had a problem to take care of. By the way, have you heard anyone complaining about Mike Kane?" "Yes, I have. People are reluctant to say anything about him because he goes way back with you. He's fighting the process all the way along. He's the most negative guy in the whole company. He just doesn't want to change. He definitely is a black knight." Dr. Elby went on, "He's starting to get in the way of his group. In fact, that's why I asked to get together with you this morning. You have to face that problem directly. You can't avoid it anymore. If you do, he'll weaken the program. People will sense it as a sign of weakness on your part and your unwillingness to take appropriate action with a friend or a longtime employee. He clearly has to get on board or wave goodbye to the train. Mr. Grimes apologized for Mike and said, "Jack, Mike was the reason that I was delayed getting up here. He had one of his crew come in early, and he then didn't show up. Ramon was waiting in the cold, and I can't believe Mike did. Mike has always been a good employee, and I've always had a lot of confidence." Dr. Elby interrupted him momentarily. "You don't have to shoot him. You just have to get him to support the changes." Mr. Grimes went on, "That's a problem. Most of the changes being made are changes to systems he personally put in place. I know Mike pretty well, and I'm sure he's taking all of the changes as personal tax against him. You can have anyone you want talk to him, but that's what it boils down to. Mike tends to be insulted every time someone points out problems in anything he has had a hand in. Most of our systems were put in by him years ago and have just grown like Topsy, changes here and there. There's been no rhyme or reason for much of it, and to be quite frank, I never paid much attention. It wasn't until last week that I realized the costs of keeping the system unchanged were phenomenal. There's no way we were going to make it without this training. Mike is one of my most trusted employees and a very good friend. But I don't see how to solve this short of firing." Dr. Elby was listening intently to everything Mr. Grimes was saying and asked, as a matter of fact, "Have you ever asked Mike to do something he didn't want to do?" "Yes, of course," Mr. Grimes responded. "He will always fight it to the limit and then capitulate in the end. But this training activity is somehow different. He has put his heart and soul into the company, and he doesn't want anything to change. I think you know what you need to do. Talk with Mike. Give him a direct order and get him on board. If he fails to do what you say, you have no choice. Try to get him to participate in one of the teams. Maybe you could even move him to another class. Saving face is very difficult for any man in his position. He's trying to do a good job, and in the past he always has come through for you. Regardless, he must not get in the way of the changes taking place. If he does anything to interfere, you have to take care of him immediately. My approach to situations like this is to explain to Mike that you will tolerate his resistance up to a point. At that point, resistance turns to treason, and that is a capital offense. No more needs to be said. We have had at least one guy like him in every company where we have done training. At some point, he's either in or he's out. He fishes or he cuts bait, but he has no choice. Mr. Grimes was pained. He loved Mike and would hate to terminate him, but he knew it was coming. Mike was stubborn and wouldn't give in easily. Class started, and Mr. Grimes excused himself about halfway in. He went to his office and asked his secretary to get Mike Kane. After a few minutes, Mike Kane walked into Mr. Grimes' office and sat down. Mr. Grimes got up and shut the door. Mike had been around a long time, and he knew that closed doors meant a serious discussion. Mr. Grimes rarely closed his door. Mr. Grimes looked across the desk at Mike and said, "Mike, I came early this morning. Did you know that?" "Yes, I heard," he said. "When I got here, Ramon was standing outside in the cold. It was 12 degrees below zero, and he was left standing out there alone. If I hadn't come along, Lord knows what would have happened. What's going on?" "That was totally irresponsible. Really, you really need to do better." Mike knew that Mr. Grimes was angry. He was very direct, and he always had been. Mike was fidgeting in his seat. He didn't have a defense. "I'm sorry, John. I guess I'm just irritated with having to get up so early in the morning. I don't see why we can't get the work done so we don't have to come in so early. You're making me suffer so that everyone else can duff it during the day. I don't like to have to cover for them." Mr. Grimes was upset. "Now, Mike, do you ever learn? You almost caused a man to freeze to death. Jesus. And that's all because of your petty bullshit. I need your support now, and you weren't giving it. Are you going to get on, or are you going to move this train to the next station, and you're not going to be on it? What's it going to be?" Mike had never seen Mr. Grimes so angry. He was cornered. He didn't want to support Dr. Elby, and all of this changed. He liked it the way it was. As he sat there, Mr. Grimes barked. Mike, I'm waiting for your response. Mike looked down as he began to speak. I'm sorry, John. I just don't want to play. This is all a crock of shit, and you know it. People are going to get jazzed about this for a few weeks, maybe even a few months, and then it will all go back to the same old shit. I've been with you a long time, and I don't see you changing to the kind of guy who will make this work. I think that everyone is in it for a rude awakening, and I don't want to be here when that happens. I guess I should resign right now while we're still friends. I just can't get behind this program. Mr. Grimes answered rather sternly. So that's your response? You're resigning? Mike nodded his affirmation. I'm sorry it's come to this, but I'll get out of here as soon as I can, as soon as you want me to go. Mr. Grimes said, I would like you to go immediately. I'll go down with you to the payroll department and get that squared away. I'm sure your entire pension and other monies get worked out fairly. I'm committed to this process, and I don't want anyone to get in the way. I'm sorry you couldn't get on board, but I have no insubordination while we're trying to make this work. After you leave, I will go down to Ramon and apologize for you, and I'm going to give Ramon the rest of the day off. They got up, walked down to payroll, and Mike Kane was history. Mr. Grimes felt miserable about it, but he knew there had been no alternative. That's the end of Chapter 15, Part 1. See you in Chapter 15, Part 2. Thank you very much.
So here's my reward for the stalwarts that have stayed with me for the last year. As you realize, this is the 100th episode of the War on Waste, the diaries from the War on Waste. And I really appreciate you guys staying with me. For that, I'm going to make PDF copies of all four of my books available. And the way you get them is email me, len@bertain.com, and I will make those PDF copies available. You have to provide me your name and email address, and I will get those to you. And again, I thank you very much for taking the time. We'll probably start, when we finish this book, we'll start on my fifth book, and you'll be participants in the development of that book. And we appreciate your taking the time to listen to these books. Thank you.